your Bibles, please, if you turn with me in God's Word to Romans chapter 4. I would watch my father as he would change the brakes on our car. And back in the day, whenever he would change the brakes, some of you men remember these days, he would take the hub off and he would go down to the spindle, which connected to the axle, and he would pack those bearings. Remember those bearings? And pack them with grease and clean them and pack them and put them all back on. And so that wheel would spin so much better and all that kind of thing. And any time that he replaced the brakes, he said, I always do that. And he was a mechanic, and although that was not his full-time job, but he loved working on cars. And I got to see the importance of an axle. You know, if you're not attached to an axle, I was driving down here moving, and I was driving the U-Haul truck, and Pastor Tim was driving the Buick, and he was in front of me. And we were coming, just got into Florida from Georgia. And as we're coming down 95, I'm looking, and there's a wheel. It's not attached to a car. And it comes bouncing from the other side. I have no idea where it came from. I never saw what it came off of, or it came off the back of a truck, or it wasn't a tire. It was a wheel. It was full of air and everything. And it was running at us and bouncing as it went. And I saw it, and I was thinking, oh no, you know, and trying to do the dodge thing. And it went on one side of him and on the other side of me. And when we got stopped and to get a bite to eat, I said, did you see that wheel? He said, yeah, didn't know what to do. It came off the axle. Brother John Malott was out here, 8 or 9 years ago. You probably remember this. It was raining, and we were setting up for Journey Through Christmas, and we had the blue lift, that great big blue lift, scissor lift. And one of our brilliant young men was driving that blue scissor lift, and we had a lot of stuff piled up, you know, on the sidewalk, and we were trying to get from one point A to point B, and he said, well, I'll just run it off the sidewalk and just up and around. That blue lift weighs a ton. I don't know how many tons it weighs, but it weighs an awful lot. And it had been raining. The ground was soft and all that kind of thing on top of it. And he got about 10 feet out into the yard out there and just spinning. It was raining and all that kind of thing. And none of us knew what to do. Didn't have a clue what to do. How do you pull that? Well, Brother John, boy, he was willing to do anything. I mean, just help out in any way possible. So he brought his big pick-em-up truck, you know, and he got that, and he connected a big old line to that lift, and then attached it to the front of his truck. And so he decided, you know, we got somebody in the lift, you know, trying to move it forward while he was pulling on it, and it yanked that bumper clean off your truck. Remember that? I know you do. I know you do. I was just thinking about that, John. I'm so glad that in one way that you attached it to the bumper and not to your axle. Now, that would have been horrible. But you take an axle off something, it's not going anywhere. And so if I could kind of compare faith to anything, I would compare it to an axle. That everything rests upon faith. Everything rests upon God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as we're wrapping up here in chapter 4, and God willing, God being our helper, we'll wrap up here tonight. And I'd like to look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 16. The Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Perhaps you have some notes there in front of you. I just want to make sure we've talked about faith and what faith is and what grace and what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense is grace. And the unmerited favor of God is grace. And faith, an acrostic for faith that's very helpful is forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And I encourage you to get a hold of the thought. But if you're looking for something simple on faith, faith is simply taking God at His word in every situation, in any situation. Just take God at His word. And that's what Abraham did. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. He took God at His word. Now, when you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, no doubt they're probably going to, if you have a hurt, if you have a pain, if you're having something going on in your body, they're going to run some tests. That's a whole lot better than opening you up to try to figure out what's going on. Why not go ahead and take some pictures and see if they can see what's going on before they start to open you up? And when they take those pictures, it might be an X-ray, it might be a CAT scan, it might be an MRI, or some new technology that they may have. But they take that picture and then they'll have to examine you through that picture. And then they'll sit down with you and they'll explain to you what they have found. And then you need to experience what it is that they're telling you to do. So with that in mind, I'd like us for a few moments to examine faith. Faith here is examined for us. Faith is examined for us. And in verse 16, the Bible says, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. The unmerited favor of God. Faith brings us into God's favor. Faith brought Abraham into God's favor. If you want to please God, if you want Him to have a good countenance towards you, and by the way, if there's anyone you do not want against you, it's Almighty God. If there's anyone that you want for you and for your family, it's Almighty God. And so faith, please, without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews tells us. It's impossible to please Him without faith. So faith brings the favor of God. It brings the grace of God. Faith brings us into God's favor. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1, if you want to jot that down. I encourage you to look at all of God's track record. He is worthy of our faith. It's not a leap in the dark. It is based on evidence. Some people say it this way. Say, you can trust God on credit. His credit is good. Okay, so faith is examined here that it brings us into God's favor. And faith brings us into God's family. Look at that at the end of verse 16. The Bible says, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It goes on to say in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He is the father of faith, by the way. He's called the father of faith. He set the example for us beautifully of what faith is. So you do not have to be trace your descendancy, your descendants and your heritage physically as a Jew. Or an Israelite. You don't have to do that because we're grafted in as a believer in Jesus Christ into the marvelous family of God and as the chosen of Him. Now, not all the promises that apply to, just want to make sure, you know, so you don't come to me afterwards. Not all the promises that deal specifically with Israel all apply to the church. Nor do all the things that apply specifically to the church also apply to Israel. But thank God the matters of salvation do apply to both. Amen. Matter of salvation does apply to both. And it's the same way of salvation in both. So the Bible tells us in the end of verse 17, it says, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. What's it saying there? Who against hope believed in hope? There was no hope for them to have a child. There was no hope. It was hopeless. Have you ever had a situation that was hopeless? You ever had a situation where there was no way that out of it, you know, and you go to God and you present it to Him, and God is still in the miracle working business. He's able to break the hardest heart. And I don't know what kind of burden you're carrying. I don't know what kind of thing that is hanging upon your heart. And I look out over here and I see all kinds of countenances, and I see the tops of people's heads. I see a lot of different things. I see smiles. I see frowns. I see all these kinds of things. And it's okay, because you're not here to hear me, and I'm not here to speak to you. You're here to hear from God, and I'm here to deliver God's message. And I'm telling you that God's message is this, that God loves you and He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Abraham believed that long before that verse was ever written. Faith is examined for us. Faith brings us into God's family. Jot down 2 Corinthians 6:18. He says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." May I never claim that I could never be, if you're a lady, I could never be a godly mother because I had a terrible example of a mother. May you never say, I cannot be a godly father because I had a terrible role model of a father. May you never say that, because God says that He will be the perfect father to us. He'll be a father to the fatherless, and you should be my sons and my daughters. Faith is examined for us. Number two, faith is explained to us. Now, I'm so glad that people can explain things to me. Sometimes I'm just slow on the uptake. Sometimes I have to read things two or three times to grasp it, you know. I really detest. It's humbling, isn't it, to read instructions? Isn't it humbling, guys? You know, you're submitting to whoever wrote those instructions. But 9 times out of 10, the instructions are very helpful. Every once in a while, you get something and you think, who in the world wrote this? But it's good to have things explained to us. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "And being not weak in faith." Hold on, look up here a second. Have you ever wanted to believe God and it was difficult? You ever had weak faith? You ever identified with the man who said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief"? That's okay. To admit honestly to God what's in your heart. That's a good thing. But here's the case. When it was impossible for Abraham, he believed it was possible for God. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. This reproductive system was dead in Abraham, being around 100 years old, and his wife as well. The Bible goes on to say, "Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." His faith is explained to us in real life terms. In real life terms. Isn't it marvelous when someone can give a personal testimony? You know, like Brother Sweet, when he said, "You know, if I gave to you the journal of all the things and the blessings that God has done in my heart and my life, it'd be more than I could carry up here." Whenever you explain how God did this and God answered that prayer and God did this miracle and all these kinds of things. And by the way, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament not to forget what He has done for us. Abraham believed in God's promise. He believed. He staggered not. He didn't vary. He didn't vacillate. It wasn't, "Well, I don't know. Maybe he can, maybe he can't." You know, he believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." How does it apply to me? Well, Jesus said that those who put their faith and trust and believe in that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one has ever plucked them out of my Father's hand. Okay, God who cannot lie. I'm thankful that that is sealed and settled in heaven for us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Hey, I love this verse. Jot it down. It'll be a blessing to you sometime later. Acts 27:25. Acts 27:25 says, "Wherefore," this is Paul, "wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." We just have to, in the face of Satan, in the face of insecurity, in the face of suffering, we need to say, "I believe God." I believe God. God is honored in that. He is glorified in that. Abraham believed in God's promise. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine and yours. He believed in God's promise and he believed in God's power. He believed in God's power. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, "As he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised," what's the next three words? "He was able also to perform." He was able. Do you remember that other song we used to sing in Sunday school and junior church? "He's able, he's able, I know he is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through." There's some great, great truth in that, folks. I don't know, we don't sing those songs much anymore, but they're in my heart. "He heals the brokenhearted and he sets the captives free. He makes the lame to walk again and calls the blind to see. He's able." That God is able. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible. You've got a situation that you can't solve, a relationship that you want to heal, and the more you try, the more it frazzles. God is able. Put it in his hands. Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I encourage you to, if you have some kind of mountain in front of you, in front of your family, if you have some difficulty, some terrible thing that's looming over you, then speak the truth of God's word and God's promises to that mountain. And I don't know how it's going to be removed. I don't know how God's going to get me around it or under it or over it or through it. But God is able, I believe he is, and he's going to do it. I trust God. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 26:3. He believed in God's power. Believed in God's power. So, we have faith examined. We have faith explained. You're getting the Cliff's notes tonight, so thank Cliff for that. And last, faith is experienced. Faith should be experienced. It must be experienced. It must be experienced. Look, please, at verse number 22. "And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So what happened with Abraham? God said, "Oh, what a beautiful example. I want to pin that down. He did it right. This will help folks in 2019. All the way back there, the patriarch, way back before David. I mean, God said this will be a help and a blessing. The same purpose of faith. You know, whether you're in the Old Testament or whether you're in the New Testament, people were saved the same way as they're saved today. They are saved by faith looking forward. We are saved by faith looking backwards. And we both look to the cross. We both look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. I've got a lot of songs ringing in my head and my heart tonight. Look to the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. That's why studying the Old Testament is very important for a New Testament believer. Because we see New Testament truth illustrated in the Old Testament. And only God could weave all that together. It's His story. It's not just history. History is His story. The story of Jesus Christ. Faith is experienced by us for the same purpose. It's experienced by us with the same process. With the same process. John 20, 31. I love this verse. The Bible says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. It's saying in that passage that if all the things that Jesus did when He was here ministering on earth, if everything was written, John supposes that the world itself couldn't contain the books. But these are written that you might believe. So just as in the Old Testament, there are things that are written to us and preserved. And by the way, God knows how to do what is best and what is right. Let me pause for a moment. I've got about 3 minutes, okay? For those of you who are clock watchers, I'll just let you know that I see the clock. Abraham, he believed God, that God would give him a son. Years passed. And by the way, that belief was pure, it was right, it was unwavering, and all that kind of thing. And that belief in Almighty God, in His promise and in His power, God said, I count that unto him for righteousness. By the way, our belief in God and His way of salvation, looking back, is counted unto us for righteousness. Romans chapter 10. Okay? So, it's same. Isn't it interesting, though? As you do study the Old Testament, what is not brought out in this passage, and what is not brought out in Hebrews 11 about Abraham, is that after a number of years of waiting and 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 waiting, he thought, maybe I need to help God out. And hence we have Ishmael through Hagar. Something culturally acceptable. Something that the world would say, oh yeah, that's what you need to do. Now, here's Abraham. As far as God was concerned, he was made righteous by his faith in Almighty God. So as a believer in God, he made a bad decision. You ever made any bad decisions apart from God? Oh me. Amen or oh me, one of the two. Yeah, I have. But you know, those sins are under the blood. And that's why in this passage, talking about Abraham, what God points out is what will benefit us and encourage us in our faith to God. God does not deny what took place, but God does not emphasize and bring that out. And by the way, God will not bring your sins up against you ever again either. Once your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ for your salvation, His saving grace is applied to your account. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 11, you read about these people in Hebrews, the heroes of the faith, and we say, wait a minute, is this the same person that we read about in Genesis? I mean, he fouled up royal, and then he messed up again. And in Hebrews 11, we don't find that, because they're under the blood. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, and that's an encouragement to us.